This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Of course, our YouTube feed, 94WIP, check it out. All of the WIP dailies on YouTube. And of course, a lot of great content from our podcast, High Hopes, Go Birds, Clap Your Hands, and clips from all of our shows on air at WIP, Morning Show, Midday Show, Afternoon Show. Check it out there, 94WIP on YouTube. Click that subscribe button. So as we follow another Phillies loss last night, and it really was a frustrating game, a game they should have had, a game that they certainly pitched well enough in the first nine innings to win. Christopher Sanchez was dealing last night, really commanding his pitches as the game went on. That changeup is a major weapon against right-handed hitters. It all felt good. Phillies, you know, get a lead, and that's it. And they don't score. And then we know the Brogdon thing late in the game. Brogdon's got it. By the time you listen to this, Brogdon better be DFA'd. Otherwise, I'm going to lose my mind. So that's an issue. But the Phillies have another issue that they can only avoid for so long. And that is the Johan Rojas elephant in the room. This is not a major league offensive player. It just isn't. And last night, I agreed with Rob Thompson's decision to pinch run for Kyle Schwarber in the eighth. And even though Schwarber is moving and running way better this year than he did last year. I mean, he's obviously healthier. He's in better shape. Kyle Schwarber's going to have a monster season. There's no question in my mind. But that was the right decision, and I would support that because you're trying to win the game right there. As we found out, because of the way the bullpen had to be used over the weekend, they were thin, the bullpen, on Monday night. They were at Nev Soto. You know, if not for the game ending in the 10th, that probably would have been Nick Nelson's game in the 11th moving forward. They were thin on pitchers. So I understand Topper's aggressiveness in the 8th inning to try to go win the baseball game. Get a lead, finish the game, try to win the game, and get out before a rain delay or a rain out on Tuesday. Give everyone a day of rest, maybe 2 days of rest. Get back after it Thursday. I totally understand the idea of what Topper was trying to do. So I would have, too, pinch run for Schwarber in the 8th and put Rojas in there to try to score on a hit, to make sure I have a lead on a hit. I'm getting home. Johan Rojas getting picked off there was egregious. It was absolutely egregious. And then, you know, you think about why he's in the game there. It's for his speed. It's for what should be base running acumen, the ability to run the bases correctly in that spot. And he didn't do it. He cost the team dearly. Then we fast forward to the bottom of the 10th. And was the game probably already lost? Probably. They probably weren't going to score four runs. But heck, the Phillies have power at the top of their lineup, and they certainly have enough stars. They could put the ball in the seats, and you're gifted a free runner anyway. I mean, the Reds scored four runs off of Brogdon in the top of the 10th. So it's not out of the question the Phillies could hit themselves a three-run home run or a grand slam and tie the game. And then you fast forward to that inning, and Merrifield has walked. Okay, two guys are on. You know, basically, Marsh was walked. I thought it was a brutal call on the pitch outside. I mean, clearly, the relief pitcher who hadn't pitched in a couple years because of injuries, he was making his comeback here, didn't have great command, didn't have great control. He was capable of walking people in that spot. So he walks Merrifield, almost walks Marsh, and then up comes Johan Rojas, who was obviously in the game at that point because of pinch running for Kyle Schwarber. So they lose Schwarber, and now we got to deal with Rojas' offense in the 10th inning as the Phillies need base runners and hits and runs. And, you know, if you want to say, Joe, look, he's a young kid. He's trying to get to a different level hitting. Nasty right-handed reliever. This guy's been, you know, productive in the big leagues before this reliever. He's good. What are you going to do? He strikes out on a difficult pitch to hit. Okay. All right. You know, I'd accept that. I would nod my head and say, okay, I get all that. That's not what happened. After the pitcher was wild in the first two batters. Johan Rojas walked up to the plate and swung at the first pitch. The first pitch. This kid needs seasoning at the minor league level. I know he can run for days, and I know he, as a defender, as a glove, he is outstanding. He's a major league defensive center fielder. He is a minor league offensive player. Minor league. And I don't know how much longer the Phillies could keep this charade up that they're going to just run this kid out there, and spots will find you. This idea, we'll just hit him ninth and the game won't matter. No, spots find you. They do. I mean, I got people telling me, you know, what a great job he did on Sunday, beating out a double play. Not getting a hit. Beating out a double play. We have lowered the bar so much on this kid that that's what is now acceptable for offense. He doesn't have a hit this season. He looks lost at the plate. And then the base running, that's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. You cannot get thrown out there. Your whole job is to score if there is a hit, to use your speed to get around the bases in a way that a guy like Kyle Schwarber, even though he's moving better, simply could not. And Rojas failed at that. And then he failed to recognize the moment. And a pitcher that could be close to real trouble and the ropes in the bottom of the 10th inning. Just a disaster. I mean, that's a disastrous couple innings there for Johan Rojas. And I'm not sure how much longer the Phillies can continue the experiment. And this is an experiment. He didn't play any time at AAA last year. He had the fakest and softest 300 average you'll ever see in the regular season last year when he came up, you know, around August into September. He's not a 300 hitter. He's not a 220 hitter. What we're seeing right now is a guy that if you go back and look at Johan Rojas' numbers from the beginning of the postseason through now, we are watching, and carry spring training in there, watching one of the most feeble bats in the sport. And the game will find that guy. And as the lineup came out yesterday, I know they only scored two runs. Now, Abbott's a pretty good pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds. But when the lineup came out yesterday, I said, that's their best lineup. That's it. Like, over the course of a season, that's the best lineup they could throw out there. That's both Marsh and Merrifield on the outfield. Now, Marsh is not as good defensively. We know that. That ball in the first inning that he didn't get in the gap, Rojas probably guessed that. Of course, Marsh makes the great throw, and JT comes down with the tag to get the runner after the review, and they come out of the first inning on skates. Okay, you're losing a little bit defensively with Marsh at center compared to Rojas. I get it. But to upgrade an offense over the course of a full season between, let's just say, Merrifield is in the game instead of Marsh, it will be immense. It'll be immense because Merrifield is a professional hitter who has professional at-bats and puts the bat on the ball. So it's going to be interesting to see how much longer the Phillies continue to play the game and try to go down this route. Now, if they're winning covers up a lot. You could survive. You could let it be. They're not winning right now. They're 1-3. They, you know, are off to a sloppy start on the bases. They're off to a sloppy start in the field. And they're off to a sloppy start in the bullpen. And they have injuries there. And DeBras could have to, you know, kind of wake up and make some moves there as well. Get Michael Mercado up here ASAP because I can't do the Brogdon thing anymore. But, you know, it's not pretty to start this season. After talking all spring training about how they want to get up to a fast start, the schedule certainly looked like it was ripe for that. I still believe it is. Although two of the better teams they're going to face all month are these first two teams. Clearly the Braves are excellent. And I think the Reds are going to win that division and be the NL Central champion. So these two teams they're facing right now are not easy teams. But they're catching the Reds at a pretty good time. I mean, they got the Reds' fourth starter yesterday. They'll get the fifth starter next. Then you move towards the idea of Lodolo is out anyway, who could be their second or third best pitcher. Matt McClain is out. They have a lot of injuries. This is not the Reds team that we are used to or that will be there in July or August. So I'm not trying, you know, I don't make excuses. The Reds are pretty good, and they could be a winning team this year, but that's, you know, they're not playing the Yankees. They're not playing the Orioles. They're not playing, you know, the Astros. They're playing the Cincinnati Reds. So you factor that all in. But as the month goes on, I wouldn't have a long leash with Rojas. If he can't hit at an acceptable level and he doesn't have an idea of what he's doing, both on the bases or in the batter's box, it's going to be very hard to keep him. And there's redundancy right now on the roster. And you kind of see it with the way Topper is boxed in a little bit with the moves he can make. Pache and Rojas are redundant. They are the same player. Just, I think Pache is a better version today than Rojas. maybe he's an A minus in center and Rojas is an A plus or an A plus and an A. They're not that different. Offensively, I think Pache gives you better at bats. Pache has more power. He's not as fast, but he's also not slow on the bases and maybe wouldn't run you into an out like Rojas did last night. So, you know, the bullpen has clearly had the most ugly moments so far to start this season. I know Bryce Harper's hitless. Schwarber's off to a very good start. You know, we go up and down the team. We can pick out some things we like or we don't through four games. Castellanos looks pretty lost to me right now, swinging it at a lot. But, you know, that'll all kind of even itself out. You know, exit velocity, swing and miss, walk rate, it all is going to kind of get to a level where we can say, okay, this is kind of what it is. This is what they are. These are who these guys are right now. We're not there yet after four games. But the Rojas situation is it's a continuation of way more than four games. We're talking about, you know, a sample now of, you could say, more than 2 months of baseball. If you count or what you think what happens in spring training has any merit whatsoever, you know, it's been a while now since this kid hit that he looked like he was competent. And I go back to his development. He skipped AAA. And he looks to me like a player that skipped AAA, that skipped the final, you know, development, the level where you get kind of polished to come to the big leagues. He skipped that. And it's one thing where you have a great, great prospect and they skipped AAA. But, you know, down in Baltimore, they got Jackson Holliday at AAA right now. And I'm sure 80% of that, 90% of it is service time manipulation. I get that. He's the number one prospect in baseball. He'll probably be a $300 million player one day. They're trying to squeeze an extra year for keeping him down 3 weeks. They're going to win most of their games up here anyway. I know what the Orioles are doing. But, you know, they are developing him. And he's a young player, has had barely any time at different levels. And they saw a high strikeout rate against left-handed pitchers, and they said, let's take a few weeks to polish that up. Hit a home run against lefty in his first at-bat down there at AAA. Great player. He's a great player. And usually great players like Jackson Holliday can figure it out at the big league level, even without AAA. Johan Rojas is not a great baseball player, not a great prospect. He's a unique player, and he's got one elite skill, which is his defense. But we're four games in. There's zero hits on the register. There's a base running blunder. There is an egregious swing at the first pitch in the 10th inning last night that showed no feel. No feel for a pitcher that maybe was on the brink of walking another guy before Turner and Harper. And then that game could have got really interesting in the last two at-bats. Instead, Johan Rojas goes up there hacking. No plan, no clue. And that's what you get. And if the Phillies are in a developmental phase, if this is 5 years ago, whatever. Let the kid play the whole season. We watched Scott Kingery try to learn on the job for an entire 2018 season. But the Phillies were in a different spot. They're not in that spot now. They're in a spot where they talk about winning the division, winning a championship, winning as many games as they can. And I'm not panicking after four games, but it's like deja vu. Like we're doing this again, where they have to stumble out of the gate again. How many times do we have to watch them trip on themselves and then tell us the next year we're not going to trip over our feet this year? Well, it's getting hard to believe if this is the way it is. Rojas is an issue right now. Rojas has been an issue for them for a while. And just adding one more layer to it. You know I'm following what's going on at Rhys Hoskins in Milwaukee. Big weekend, obviously. Killed the Mets all weekend for the Brewers. If Johan Rojas can't hit, and the Phillies have to go get an outfield bat this offseason, this season, right, mid-season trade deadline. You better believe I'm paying attention to Rhys Hoskins, because the Phillies had an opportunity to keep Rhys, re-sign him, play him at first base, and put Bryce in the outfield for another year. They had that opportunity. They absolutely did. They chose defense over offense, and they didn't hit enough in the beginning of this season. They haven't so far. Meanwhile, Rhys is hot. Now, is that going to continue at a super high level? We'll see. You know, Rhys probably goes through his peaks and valleys, as he always does. And I imagine the Phillies will not let Rojas ruin this season if they need an outfield bat. By the way, Mike Trout, second and third home runs of the season last night, crushed one 480 down in Miami. Go check out the highlight on that one. Ask out Trout. Let's go. Let's get this thing going. But, no, I don't think the Phillies will let Rojas ruin the season, but they may need to pivot. And they may need to pivot soon. Now, is that going to become more of Marsh and Merrifield in the short term, and then we figure out a potential trade in the long term? Yeah, I think that's probably where they're going to go. But I don't see a kid right now that has any feel in the box. I don't see a kid that has great base running instincts. I see a kid that can catch it and can fly in the outfield. And it's a great skill, and it's certainly one that can help you win baseball games. But, you know, you don't know in a particular game, especially with ground ball pitchers, how many times the ball will even go to center field. I do know he has to get up four times a game. The game will find you. And the game found Johan Rojas last night. The game found him on Sunday. He's lucky to beat out a double play. We're giving him flowers for that. He wasn't lucky last night. Bad, bad base running, and then just no clue at the plate in that 10th inning. The Phillies have to keep their eye on this Rojas situation, not let this spiral. And I'd have a quick trigger. I would not wait much longer to send Rojas AAA. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following WIP Daily. Would love your feedback. Joe.JulioOdyssey.com. And, of course, at Joe Julio Sports, Twitter or Instagram. Send me a DM, send me a message, and we'll chat about the Phillies, Eagles, draft coming up in just a few weeks. Joel Embiid's return is imminent. The Flyers, they got to hold on. It's going to be tricky to hold on for that final playoffs, but I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following WIP Daily.